Welcome to the Tax Update for October 2016, and we've got six items to cover. And as usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes, and the notes contain links should you wish to do further research on the topics covered. There's been an interesting decision upon which HMRC has not really yet commented, but that is that of the Ingenious Partnership and the disclosures made by the then Chief Executive of HMRC, Dave Hartnett, to Times journalists. And the Supreme Court has ruled that he should not have made such disclosures and that officers within HMRC have a duty of confidentiality and must respect information which they obtain in the course of their duties. As a taxpayer, I am disappointed that the mistake ever arose. But I'm also very annoyed that this case should have gone to the Supreme Court, because the expense of litigation to the Supreme Court is considerable, and HMRC, having lost, will now be faced with meeting the legal costs of the Ingenious Partnership, as well as considering what to do with the outcome. Should Mr. Hartnett be prosecuted? Well, of course not. He's long retired. But the point of principle has now been established. My enthusiasm for reading tax cases turned to a degree of pity for Mr. and Mrs. Dyer, who were claiming negligible value loss relief for £800,000 of losses, which they had invested in their daughter's company. But because it was a family relationship, they didn't insist on the daughter including within the assets owned by the company an employment contract giving the company the use of her skills, or indeed any rights to intellectual property. Accordingly, when Mr. and Mrs. Dyer bought shares in the company, they were actually acquiring something that was worthless. And this was a finding of fact by the first-tier tribunal. But Mr. Dyer felt committed and able to take the case on appeal to the upper tribunal. He was doomed to lose from the outset, and I felt really sorry for him that he should be arguing for a tax relief which he had incurred a loss, but he was in that situation where there is no relief available. If he had done it properly in the first place, he could have engineered a situation where he would have been entitled to loss relief in the full amount. In other words, in tax, that underlying principle is it ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. And Mr. Dyer did it wrong, but he's then been wrong to take it to the first-tier tribunal, and even more wrong to think that he could overturn the finding of facts when he'd no evidence to support his argument. HMRC have published guidance on creative industry tax reliefs, and this covers film tax relief, animation, high-end television, video games, children's TV, theatre and orchestra tax relief. So it's worth a read for those who are interested in advising in this particular area. HMRC have also published its measure of the tax gap, which they estimate at some $36 billion and 6.5%. But what I would say is that there's a great deal of confusion about what is the tax gap, and I think that the statistics within this lengthy document are fairly dubious. What is clear is that HMRC are saying that $18.3 billion arises from the SME sector, and this justifies HMRC deploying staff and resource to try and close the tax gap. They also argue that 6.2 arises from the hidden economy, and we should all support HMRC in trying to close the tax gap, but we should treat with a pinch of salt the statistics that they publish. What is a good read is Agent Update, Issue 56, and I think this is always an interesting read, although I find it disquieting to see the almost inevitable introduction of making tax digital, which makes me very uncomfortable. Finally, the paper filing date is, of course, 31st October, but as we compare where we are now in the tax regime with where we were just in 1997-98, when self-assessment was first introduced, we can see that the amount of change has been dramatic, and we can also see with the introduction of Making Tax Digital that it's going to be very dramatic over the next few years. As Confucius said, we live in interesting times. And with such dramatic change, there are opportunities to consider how you might add value to clients, and perhaps quite importantly, whether there are some clients that you know will not adapt to the digital revolution and therefore may be more trouble than they're worth. Thanks very much for listening.